Noah has come to the other side of the flood. The judgment is past, and the clouds have parted, and the storm has ceased. The ship is now in port, and the sun seems to rise. And we catch a little glimpse tonight of Noah's sunshine. And God makes a covenant with Noah. We know it as the Noahic covenant. And seems to start over. Everyone has been destroyed in the flood except Noah and his family. And God begins again with Noah and his family. And so as we come to the first night in this new year, I want to try to emphasize a new beginning. A new beginning. Yeah. Now, we'll begin in the first verse of this ninth chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want you to notice, firstly, a new beginning is not possible within itself or within ourselves. We're confronted with the God of a new beginning. Somebody said, well, preacher, I feel like I've come through some storms this last year. I sure would like to have a new beginning. Well, it all comes back to God. You can't initiate a new beginning in your own strength. Neither can I. But I'm glad that God is the God of new beginnings. Look at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Notice that special title for the Lord. And God blessed Noah. That title is the name Elohim. And it's the name that the Bible begins with in the revelation of God. In the beginning, God, that same God now, is said to have blessed Noah and his sons. Now let's study this title for just a few minutes. The name Elohim means the mighty one. In fact, it has to do with God's force, His power. Elfie Marsh, a great writer of years gone by, and now his books have been reprinted and recirculated, and I think that to the benefit of many. But Elfie Marsh defined this title, God, capital G, little O, little B, as the putter forth of power. It doesn't just designate God as a God of power, but it designates and defines God as being the source of all power. He is almighty. He is strong. And He is powerful. There's an indication here that He is not only mighty, but He has might over His might. He is not just strong, but He has strength over His strength. Amen. He is not just powerful, but He has power over His power. His creation derives its strength from Him. Angels get their strength from Him. Human beings get their strength from Him. But God gets His strength from no one. Because He is the source of all power. And so that is the God of a new beginning. It may look very dismal where you're operating. The clouds may have not dispersed yet. And you may not see the sun for a day or two, But I say to you, if you have a new beginning, it will be based in the power of God. And God blessed Noah and his son. And my point out as well, this title not only speaks to us of the God of power, but in that it is attached to this covenant, reminds us that he is the God of promise. Now, he said back in verse number 21, I will not again, chapter 8, verse 21, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. And this is a good verse, verse 22, for all of those that keep telling us how that in the last days you won't be able to tell the difference between summer and winter. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. This is God's covenant pledge. This is God's promise. This is his focus on the future. May I say, he not only has power to give new beginnings, but in his title, that is the promise of a new beginning. He is the God who keeps his promise. He is the God who backs up his word. In this past year, I planned to do some things and told my wife and have told others, yes, I'll do that. I'll get around to that. But I didn't keep my word. I didn't get around to doing everything. I've apologized to my wife, but that doesn't help much. I have written a note of apology to some other people that I meant well when I told them I would try to get something done in their behalf. But I want to tell you, God has never had to send any notes of apology. Right. God has never had to tell anybody he was sorry that he didn't get it done. He always keeps his promise. And I say to you, that is the God of a new beginning. I cannot foretell what this year will hold for you or what it will even hold for me. It would simply be guessing. But all I say to you, the God of the Bible is the God of new beginnings. It could be in the days ahead that by his power and according to his promise, he will do something special and significant in your life as far as progress and development is concerned. And so Noah's sunrise, Noah's new beginning, is based on the God of a new beginning. Yes. If there's hope, it is in the God of hope. If there is a tomorrow, it's in the God who holds tomorrow. If there are days of brightness ahead, it's because God makes the sun rise after the storm. Then I want you to notice a second word in this first verse. We not only learn of the God of a new beginning, but we learn of the grace of a new beginning. And God blessed Noah. Notice it does not say, and God fussed at Noah. And God isolated Noah. And God judged Noah. Oh no. We read that God blessed Noah. Now this word bless is an interesting word in the Old Testament. It is actually from a word that means to kneel. It's used when men bless God, and it's used when God blesses men. Of course, when men bless God, It is an act of praise and thanksgiving. And we are rendering a grateful heart the praise of a grateful heart unto God. That is our blessing God. And so rightly the word for men would be to kneel in gratitude. But I can't grasp God kneeling to us. But that's the picture. God coming to where we are. God comes to Noah's low estate. God kneels, as it were, to Noah. He shares his favor with Noah. He bestows his benefits upon Noah. I say to you, this is the grace of a new beginning. You may feel like God's been a million miles away, but he may be getting ready to move in your direction. That's the grace of a new beginning. I want to try to emphasize this in two different ways. I want us to look at the word blessed first. It speaks to me of the influence or the influential favor of God being extended. I've defined grace every way I know to define it, preaching every night of the year just about as I do, and sometimes twice in a day. You look for any kind of definition that sounds biblical to re-emphasize and re-underline the message of the grace of God. For years I thought I was wearing out that little phrase, the unmerited favor of God. But I keep coming back to it. I've used that acrostic, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Some time ago I heard a dear man who surrendered to preach in our home church and has pastored for many years, Brother George Thompson, defined grace as the stooping down of God. Think again, that is the picture of favor, the bestowment of heavenly kindness. I guess it's been 2 years now. I was preaching from Genesis chapter 3, and we just went down through the story, the temptation, the fall, the garments of God's redemptive plan, and I was trying to magnify the grace of God in that God came walking in the cool of the day, seeking out Adam. He didn't seem to be seeking out God. He was hiding. But God was seeking out him. I say to you, my definition for grace is now any movement that God makes in man's direction. That's grace. And here is Noah standing in a new setting, with nobody around but his family, with no basic direction for the future. It's a new beginning. But the God of the new beginning manifests his grace in this new beginning. He moves in Noah's direction. And notice not only the influential favor of God, God being interested in men, but notice the individual favor of God. And God blessed Noah and his sons. Well, I guess we could read it like this. And God blessed Noah, and God blessed Shem, and God blessed Ham, and God blessed Japheth. Noah and his sons were the objects of this divine favor. Oh, I say to you, brother, the sun may be getting ready to rise in your new beginning. As you come to this new year, who knows what God may have in store? The blessing, I use that word in a choice way, the blessing that God may have for you in the days that are just ahead. Then I want us to come to a third emphasis. Look at the remaining words of verse 1. We're confronted with the God of a new beginning, sunrise, and God. We're confronted with the grace of a new beginning, and God blessed Noah and his sons. And I might as well say this. Nothing does me any more good than to watch God bless somebody else.
I tell you, God hasn't really done for me what He's done for other people. I just don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Maybe it's because you're so selfish. Huh? Rejoice with them that rejoice. Enjoy God blessing somebody else. Bless me, the preacher talking about this dear man using the baptismal water. Hey, God bless Noah and his sons. You know what I say to that? Boy, that's wonderful. No, I'm glad God's blessing you, you boys. Oh, yes. The grace of a new beginning. But watch it now. We come thirdly to the generation of a new beginning. God bless Noah and his sons and said unto them, well, I'm going to tell you, you know the sun's rising when God goes to talking again. Yeah. You may be in the storm. The clouds may be hanging over your head. The darkness may be looming close. But glory to God when God goes to talking again. The clouds have to back off. And the sun comes a breaking through.
Yes, sir.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, here are the same words in this new era, beginning with Noah, that God gave to Adam in the earlier origin. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. He's talking about the generation of a new beginning. The enlargement, I think, is a good word. The enlargement. That word, fruitful. Be fruitful. It means increase. Reproduce. And that word multiply indicates abundantly. God is saying, I want you, Noah, and your boys to increase, to reproduce abundantly. And replenish. The word replenish indicates to fill up. To fill up the earth. Boy, this got a hold of me this afternoon. Y'all forgive me now. This is just a little word study. I know most of us don't like word studies. But that's what the Bible's made up of, so study it with me for just a minute. Look back in chapter 6, right before the flood, right before God sent the judgment of on that antediluvian age. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled. There's the same word. The earth was filled with violence. Now watch it. God has sent the storm. God has sent the flood. He's wiped out all the corruption. He's cleaned out all the violence. And now Noah gets to participate in a new beginning. And he says, Noah, we've got rid of the corruption. We've gotten rid of the violence. Now the earth is no longer filled with violence. I want to fill it with victory. It's no longer filled with corruption. I want to fill it with children. It's no longer filled with sin. I want to fill it with salvation. Replenish the earth. Oh, brother. You may look back over the last year and see a year that's filled with unsatisfactory experiences. Hopes that have been crushed and dreams that have been shattered. Maybe even your own Christian life has seemingly been stunted as a result of all the things that have come in on you. But I say to you, look ahead, look ahead. The sun is coming up. And as the sun rises, God not only speaks to Noah and his sons, but he tells them, we're going to fill this thing with a different kind of productivity. Sin had reproduced, wickedness and vice had multiplied and had been fruitful and increased. God said, now, I want you to increase. I want you to abundantly fill the earth with the right kind of seed. I thought, as some mentioned tonight, they wanted to win more souls in this next year. Could it be God has put you on the brink of a new beginning? Your boat has docked on Mount Ararat, and the flood waters have ceased, and the waters have abated, and now the sun's coming up, and God may be getting ready to reproduce through you. I'm talking about a new beginning. A new beginning. The God of a new beginning. The grace of a new beginning. The generation of a new beginning. Let me say this before I move to a fourth emphasis. It could be that there are areas in your heart that have been filled with other kind of things. Your mind, your lifestyle. I didn't testify earlier. But I told my wife the other day, I said, I believe God will change my lifestyle in 1991. So I said, what do you mean by that? That's none of your business. That's between me and my wife. But I see already a redirection of God in my life. Listen to me, brother. God doesn't have to leave you where you are. He may have to send a flood to kill out a lot of things that's got in you. But when the storm has passed and the clouds back away and roll back like a scroll and the blue begins to come into focus and the sun rises on your life, glory be to God, you can enjoy a new beginning of the reproduction of the likeness of Jesus in your life. Instead of self, we'll be filled with the Spirit. Instead of our desires, be filled with the will of God. The generation of a new beginning. Oh, thank God for the opportunity to start again. I want you to see fourthly, in verses 2-6, one emphasis seems to be the thing. We saw three emphases in verse number 1. The God of a new beginning. The grace of a new beginning. The generation of a new beginning. But now verses 2-6. And this is so important. We see the government of a new beginning. Now as Adam was God's, or should I say, man's representative on the earth, and God's representative in the human family. So Noah now takes that position. We, in the Garden of Eden, knew a time of innocence. Then we came to a period of human responsibility. Now we come to an era where God changes the orders and reinforces what has already been instituted. Look in verse number 2 and 3. We have the sphere of this new government, the area, the region that this government will involve. And the fear of you, that is Noah, and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. This government, God has set Noah over, involves the sphere of the land. And then notice further, it involves the sphere of the air, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth. It also involves the sphere of the waters, and upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. God said, Noah, I turned it over to Adam in the beginning. But now I've renovated this earth with judgment. I have caused the old earth to perish in the waters. And I'm starting over, Noah. And I'm giving you that designated position of leadership. The government of a new beginning. Now, I hope you don't think I am overemphasizing this. But I believe when God gives us a new beginning, He often turns new territory over to us. This verse has been big to me the last few weeks. The meek shall inherit the earth. Somebody said, oh, that's out yonder the millennium, Brother Tom. That's out yonder. Yes, the literal fulfillment of that is yet to come. But I believe God will give you and me a measure of territory in reward of faithfulness and yieldedness. Oh, don't tell me any different. I'm expecting God to turn over some territory to me this year that I haven't had before.
Amen.
That comes with a new beginning. The land, the air, the waters. I don't have time to get into all of that. I'm going to tell you, brother, there's territory where you operate physically that God wants to turn over to you. And there's territory spiritually. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. But we have been exalted. We've been raised. We've been seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Boy, I want to enjoy more territory that's mine this year to come. Then, I want you to see in verses 4, 5, and 6, not only the spheres of this new government, but the severity of this new government. God institutes some new laws here. In fact, they're so severe, our nation is still bucking against them. The law of capital punishment. Look at verse 4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, listen to this, this is take care of those long lines on death row. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, this would also take care a lot of the turmoil in our judicial system. And a lot of the fear in our public places of interest, businesses, banks, and stores and so on that get robbed, and people who get shot, people who are killed in the street. This will stop a lot of it. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And let me say this. Sometimes I fear that I may be speaking more my own thoughts than true scriptural interpretation. But everybody's worried what's going to happen to those Jews. You remember the time when they said about Jesus, let his blood be upon us and our children. God said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. I detest all of the terror and all of the hardship that that nation has gone through. And every time I've been in Jerusalem, I've gone and visited those terrible scenes that they've saved on film. And I've watched their movies and looked at their pictures about the Holocaust. But I say to you, they wanted his blood on them and on their children. And God's law in Noah's age and in all the ages afterward was life for life. And I wonder what's going to happen to our nation as millions of the unborn have perished at our hands. I say to you, God set up a law. Hey, God may give you new territory, and God may let the sun rise on you and give you a new beginning, but it will not be without his government. You'll not be footloose and fancy free, brother. You'll have to come under his law. You'll have to come under his principles, under his sovereign rule. I believe, however, even in this severe law, there is a message of the gospel. Life for life, that's the message. Because of our sins, we were to die. It was to be alive for a life. But glory to God. God has given the life of Jesus in the stead of you and me. Oh my. Every new beginning will find its base in the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus. He died for me. Hallelujah. I want you to see before we close tonight. Noah's sunrise, a new beginning in Noah's life, not only involved the God of the new beginning, Elohim, the grace of a new beginning, God blessed, God stooped down. And the generation, he said to Noah and his sons, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the government of a new beginning, God lays down some laws in certain spheres. I want you to see again in verse 7. This is a repetition of verse number 1. But I want you to see, fifthly, the geography of a new beginning. And you... God's talking to Noah and his boys again. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. Now, where are they to do this? In the earth. Therein. In the earth. Now, I want to remind you that this geography that they're getting ready to begin over in, number one, is an unclaimed geography. There's no Garden of Eden here. There's no Tower of Babel here. This is a new setting. This is a new scene. All these things have not come to be. And God says, I want to turn this earth over to you boys. And I want you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Do it abundantly. Therein, the earth, that's your geography. That's your location. That's your environment. That's your sphere of operation. I say to you, God has turned them out into an unclaimed earth. And I say to you, as we come into this new year, there's territory that has never been claimed. I say right here in your city, right here in your community, right here in your back door, there's people that have never been evangelized. There are people who've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. There are folks whose grandpa got saved and their mama made a profession, but somehow they never were brought up in church. They went every now and then, and they're in the darkness of this age. In our part of the country, I don't know that much about your area, but in our part of the country, God moved in a mighty way in the 50s. In such a mighty way, you could hardly find anybody that did not say that they weren't saved. Then they had children. And God met some of us in the 60s. My daddy was saved the year I was born. 52. But God met me in 1968. 16-year-old boy. And another generation comes along. And brother, there are thousands camping under the doorsteps of our churches that do not understand the simplicity of the gospel. And only the power of the Holy Ghost upon us can change their lives. We give them the message. Oh, there's unclaimed geography. God said, no, I want you and your boys to take it. Replenish it. And multiply therein. Unclaimed. Let me say something in closing. This geography of a new beginning. Hey, the geography of this new year. There's unclaimed territory in your life this year. Let me add, God turned an unclaimed earth over to Noah, and God turned an uncultivated earth over to Noah. He'll have to work. He'll have to plow. He'll have to sow. He'll have to water. It's unclaimed. It's uncultivated. Similarly, as you come to a new year and a new beginning, there's territory that hasn't been claimed. And there's territory that hadn't been cultivated. And I promise you, if you see a crop, and if I see a crop, it'll not be by us sitting back and saying, well, I hope God does something this year. But it'll be by you and me getting out there and plowing and making soil ready for the seed and sowing seed and trusting God to water it and give an increase in His own time. A new beginning. I don't know how Noah felt getting out of that ship and coming down the plank and touching an earth that never had been walked on. Somebody said, oh, it had been walked on. Not this one. It had been walked on before it got baptized. But since it's been baptized, Noah's the first one to walk on it. And as he comes out and builds an altar, as the smoke begins to ascend from his altar, it mingles in with the cloud. Then it seems that all of it begins to roll back and the sun begins to rise. I don't know how Noah felt. But I remember a terrible storm-tossed night when my wife and I and Alethea was just a wee thing. We're en route to a meeting in Mississippi. And we had heard over the radio that tornadoes had been seen. And all those funny sounds kept coming on the channels and different warnings. And the more we drove, the closer we felt like we were in the heart of it. We pulled off the side of the road because the rain was so hard and the winds were so fierce, wondering, well, what should we do? And we saw a family come running out of their house, off the porch, down through the yard, and go into a little shelter that they had built back up and underneath the bank. And I told my wife, I said, we better go with them. And so we wrapped up Alethea, our oldest, and we went inside that little old shelter. I'll never forget the feeling of being shut up. What's going to happen? I wonder if their house is being torn down. You could hear the winds and the rain. Just a little flashlight the family had for us to see around with. Alethea crying over in the corner while her mother held her. And I thought, what's going on out yonder? Boy, this must be terrible. And the man said, we just heard that it's coming right across us. I'll never forget when the storm passed and the wind ceased. And the man of the house said, I think we can come out now. Oh, brother. I didn't see any sun shining literally. But as far as I was concerned, it was noonday. What a dark hour that had been buried up in the side of that bank. You may have gone through some shelter experiences this past year. Oh, glory be to God. When the storm passes by, the sun breaks out, and you have a new beginning, and you can walk on territory that's been baptized in your storm, and it's new soil for you to plod on, and you can know God in a new sense and in a new way. I know it hadn't been written, but if Noah had a song to sing, I believe it would have gone like this. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Jesus is mine. Would you stand with me?